The NC Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on its proposed plan to widen Aviation Parkway from NC-54/Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville to I-40 in Cary. The purpose of this project is to reduce congestion on Aviation Parkway, improving east-to-west mobility through Morrisville to I-40 and I-540. The meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on May 12th at Morrisville Town Hall, 100 Town Hall Drive in Morrisville. For more information, visit ncdot.com and search Aviation Parkway.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. And by the way, it is officially Book Launch Tuesday. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. After weeks of promoting Star Spangled Blessings, we are now officially launched. The book in bookstores all across America, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, and Target are big box stores. And, of course, many other independent bookstores around the nation. And I really do hope that you today will get a copy of the book. You can also order it online, Amazon, wherever you do your digital buys. You can do that. But here's what I'm going to be asking of you. Because, again, Fox News, they no longer promote conservative books like mine. And so, therefore, we rely on this audience, on this radio program, to promote the book. And here's what we're trying to do. And this is sort of a fun thing. And it is a feather in my cap as a writer. Every writer wants to have their book land on the New York Times bestseller list. It's sort of the standard when it comes to book sales in America. And we need your help because we want to get this book on the New York Times bestseller list, and only you can do that. And you say, well, how can I do that? I live in, Salem, Oregon. I live in Bartlesville. How can I impact the New York Times? Well, it's very simple. Buy the book. When you buy the book, and those numbers are counted, and if we just have 15 or 20,000 people in our listening audience, and we have a massive audience, if we have just 15 to 20,000 in our audience going out today and purchasing a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, we will be on the New York Times bestseller list by next week. So we need your help in doing that, and I want to encourage you to get out there. If you've read the book, give us a call. Let us know what you thought about the book. We'll put you on the air and talk about that as well. And, of course, you can always purchase a signed copy over at toddstearns.com. But we are certainly excited about today being launch day for Star Spangled Blessings. All right, last night President Trump made an announcement and scared the living daylights out of a lot of folks when he announced that the citizens of Tehran should pack up and evacuate their city immediately. And this was around, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, Tehran time. And the videos were just jaw-dropping. Just thousands and thousands of cars backed up on the interstates heading out of Tehran, because even the Iranians know that Donald Trump is not messing around. So that got a lot of people in this country very alarmed. There have been a lot of military movements over the past 24 hours. There are a lot of moving parts, air tankers, almost two dozen of them. And by the way, these are basically airborne gas stations. So that tells me that we're looking at some pretty massive, movements of military troops and personnel and planes in the region. Now, whether that is we're talking about American troops or Israeli troops is a little unclear right now. But there is a very unsettled atmosphere in the world. And there are concerns that there may be some sort of a nuclear event. And it may be, I'm fairly certain it's not going to be us. I don't think it's going to be the Israelis. But I think there are concerns that either Iran or one of Iran's allies may try to do something nuclear. And if that's the case, then the United States has to respond. But I want to start out, and we're going to, you know, it was yesterday I gave you just a brief history lesson on what happens when the United States engages in regime change. The United States putting its nose in Iran's business is what led to what's happening right now in Iran and the Middle East. It really is that simple. Let me explain something, and this is for all of you young people out there who may be wanting to run for election one day, and maybe we have a future president of the United States listening to this program right now somewhere. Let me explain something to you. The United States does not do regime change well. Never have, and we never will. We need to be worried. We need to be focused on our own business. Now, there is a caveat there, and I'll get to that caveat in just a moment. Let me say this about regime change. These nations in the Middle East, they don't want freedom. They don't want democracy. They want what they have. Now, you and I may look at that and say, are you kidding me? Who wants to live in a tent in the desert and ride around on a camel? Well, you know what? A lot of people over in Iran and Iraq want to do that. And that's their business. All right? It's not my job to go over there and make them buy a Subaru. That's not what we're here for. Because forcing our way of life on another nation has never, ever worked. And it will never work. So we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. And by the way, Lindsey Graham last night on Hannity, and Lindsey Graham, who is a confirmed bachelor, he doesn't have any skin in this game. He's not sending his kids over there to fight. He's not sending his grandkids over there to fight. He may be sending his special friends over there to fight, but I don't know. That's none of my business. But all I'm telling you is this, when it comes to people like Lindsey Graham out there talking about regime change, he was salivating yesterday at this idea that maybe, just maybe, we were about to overthrow the Ayatollahs. That's not what we do. Now, here's the caveat. And this is where the civil war is happening within MAGA world. So I want you to hear something. When it comes to Iran, they want to destroy us. They want to annihilate us. They want to annihilate Israel. And if, in fact, they have a nuclear weapon, or if they were to get their hands on a nuclear weapon, I believe they would use it, which is why we can never allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. We just cannot allow that to happen. And there are some in MAGA world who seem to believe that the only time that we should respond, I'll just set this up for you, because this is what MAGA world, and by MAGA world, I'm talking about the Candace Owens and the MTGs and the Tucker Carlsons. Here's their philosophy. We've got no business being over there, being an influence at all, period. What happens in Iran stays in Iran. So if Iran launches a nuke on Israel and wipes out the entire nation, that side of the MAGA world says, you know what? That's a horrible thing. It's a great tragedy, but that's not our business. That's ultimately what that side of the table thinks. Now, there's the other side, and on that side, you have people like the Mark Levins and the Ben Shapiros and the Donald Trumps. And the idea there on this side is, we cannot allow them to get a nuclear weapon, and if it requires going in and blowing up their infrastructure to do that, then we're going to do that. But we're going to do it with such force and gusto that Iran will not fight back. By the way, we did that during the first Trump administration. During the first term that the president had in office, we did that. We dropped the MOABs, the mother of all bombs. And it shut everybody up. And guess what? We never fought a single war during the Trump term. The only president in modern American history to keep us out of a war is Donald J. Trump. So my question to the other side, to all of these people in the MAGA world who are just upset at President Trump and raging at President Trump right now, what evidence do you have that Trump is trying to get us involved in a war? Trump has been very clear. From day one, his position on Iran has never changed, has never wavered. They can't get the bomb. That's it. My question to you, though, is very simple. Whose side are you on here in this struggle? Do you stand with Donald Trump, or do you stand with Tucker Carlson and MTG and Steve Bannon? Now, MTG and Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson are suggesting that Trump is under the influence of the neocons, and the neocons want a war because that's big business for the military-industrial complex, and therefore we need to be shooting at somebody, and the Iranians are it. So that's where we stand right now. I want to play some audio. By the way, President Trump calling Tucker Carlson last night on True Social kooky, calling him a kooky. Here's Tucker Carlson, cut number 9.
I actually really love Trump. I think he's a deeply humane, kind person. And I am saying this because I'm really afraid that my country's going to be further weakened by this. I think we're going to see the end of American empire. Obviously, other nations would like to see that, and this is a perfect way to scuttle the USS America on the shoals of Iran. But it's also going to end, I believe, Trump's presidency and effectively end it. And so that's why I'm saying this.
What do you mean by that? That's coming from you.
I knew Bush. I knew George W. Bush. We had, you know, family connections to Bush. I knew Bush personally. I still see Bush sometimes. And you know, of course, he hates me, and he does because I criticized him on Iraq. And that war is the sum total, from a historical perspective, of his administration. But I knew him, and he had all kinds of plans for the things that he wanted to do. But once
domestically,
right, to improve the country.
Right.
And you may agree or disagree, but like in his mind, he wasn't just about the invasion of Iraq in March of 2000.
Oh, no. He was going to redo Social Security.
100%.
All types of it. He was going to take care of the entitlements issue.
And he really thought it was going to work.
Yep.
And you could laugh at that or whatever, but the point is, the second you get enmeshed in a real war, not a fake, let's go bomb the villagers and declare success, though we don't even have a good track record. Like, why are the Houthis still there?
There's a whole other question,
right, which is, how prepared is the U.S. military for a real conflict? And the answer is totally unprepared. Scary unprepared. I don't think people understand that. But anyway, the only reason I'm saying any of this is because I really, really care.
So that's Tucker Carlson. What he forgot to mention was he supported the war in Iraq before he opposed it. And by the way, the same goes with Iran. So again, as we go to break here, we're going to play some more audio on this. I'm curious here to hear your thoughts. I mean, this is a squabble within MAGA world that has now exploded, and it's getting ugly. President Trump weighing in, calling Tucker Carlson kooky. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Should we stop Iran from getting the bomb? We'll be right back. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Now, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Now, Mike is offering the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets. Any size, any color, just $49.98. That's right. You can even get the Queens, Kings, Split Kings, and Cal Kings. Any size, any color, just $49.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 in merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS for the amazing offer of $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. That number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. And this is Book Launch Day here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Help us get on the New York Times bestseller list by going right now, purchasing a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, and be sure to invite your friends to do that as well, or just buy your friend a copy of the book. It makes a terrific gift book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. All right, I want to go back to this developing story out of the Middle East. And there are just a lot of people that are concerned about nuclear war. Now, Tulsi Gabbard had said, several weeks back, it may have been about a month or so ago, that their intel showed that Iran was not developing nuclear weapons and did not have nuclear weapons. President Trump says he doesn't care what Tulsi Gabbard says. And so earlier today, Tulsi Gabbard released a very strange video. And we're going to play the audio of this video. Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, the director of national intelligence. And it really was a weird, shocking warning about nuclear holocaust. Take a listen to Cut 8.
I recently visited Hiroshima in Japan and stood at the epicenter of a city that remains scarred by the unimaginable horror caused by a single nuclear bomb dropped in 1945, 80 years ago. It's hard for me to find the words to express what I saw, the stories that I heard, the haunting sadness that still remains. This is an experience that will stay with me forever. Yet this one bomb that caused so much destruction in Hiroshima was tiny compared to today's nuclear bombs. The bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima had a yield of just 15 kilotons of TNT, whereas today's nuclear warheads range in size from 100 kilotons to over 1 megaton. A single nuclear weapon today could kill millions in just minutes. Just one of these nuclear bombs would vaporize everything at its core. This is the reality of what's at stake, what we are facing now. Because as we stand here today, closer to the brink of nuclear annihilation than ever before, political elite and warmongers are carelessly fomenting fear and tensions between nuclear powers. We must reject this path to nuclear war and work toward a world where no one has to live in fear of a nuclear holocaust.
All right. So Tulsi Gabbard posting that after last night coming back and President Trump leaving the G7 early, going back to Washington. And that got a lot of people freaking out. And then Tulsi Gabbard releases this. But on the flight back, Trump said he really doesn't care what Tulsi Gabbard says. So I'm not sure that relationship appears to be a little frayed right now. But there are a couple of things at play. Number one, there could be a possibility that there are, in fact, sleeper cells in this country, and there's great fear that maybe, just maybe, we're dealing with dirty bombs. And maybe these Iranian sleeper cells are just waiting to be activated. So that could be one take here. The other is that Iran really does have a nuclear weapon, or they've got something that could cause great harm to Israel, and they're getting ready to use it. And if that's the case, then Israel is going to step in and intervene. So there are a lot of different things at play here, but we just don't know right now. And that is why I am preferring to side with Donald Trump on all of this right now. Because at the end of the day, Trump has not wavered. His positions haven't changed at all. Tucker Carlson's positions, they've changed multiple times. And I appreciate where he is, and I like Tucker a lot. I love Steve Bannon, Tulsi Gabbard. I like these guys. We just disagree on this. But Tucker Carlson is going out there now, and he's saying that Trump's presidency could be over as a result of this. I mean, you have some hardcore MAGA people, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I do wonder if anti-Semitism is at play here. And a lot of this, objection. Because Iran wants to take us out. They want to take out Israel. And I don't know about you, but I would rather deal with that issue now as opposed to having a nuclear cloud over, say, Nashville, Tennessee, or Indianapolis, Indiana, or Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But that's just me. So we'll take your calls on this. Again, we're going to go to the phone lines here. It is a disturbing time, but ultimately, let's just trust Donald Trump here. Trump clearly has a plan. But Todd, he told people to evacuate last night. Yeah, he did. And you know what I saw? I saw people in Iran listening to what Donald Trump was saying. And the Ayatollahs, they now think that Trump very well could be playing hardball here. It's really a fascinating thing to watch unfold. A little unsettling, yes, but it's also a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, a reminder that we got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared for everything. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is Book Launch Day. We're celebrating the arrival of the Star Spangled Blessings book. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
All right. So Trump is ratcheting things up just a smidge. The president just posted this 13 minutes ago, all caps, unconditional surrender. That's what he's telling the Iranians. So President Trump looks like, and again, the president has been pretty clear here. He's been wanting the Iranians to come back to the negotiating table and work this out, and they have not been willing to do it. And at this stage of the game, and hear me, this is really a conflict between Israel and Iran right now. But we are Israel's number one. We are their closest ally. So if Israel says, hey, we need help, we're there. And we have to be. We're obligated to be. Anyway, Trump just wrote this as well. We know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding, talking about the Ayatollah. He's an easy target, but is safe there. We're not going to take him out, at least not for now. Oh, geez. You know, you wonder if the Ayatollah is peeping out of the windows right now, looking around. Trump says, we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Always humorous, but the president is being very direct here. That the time for pussyfooting around has expired. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Ocala, Florida. Thomas listening to us on WOCA, great radio station. Hey, Thomas, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I've been listening to you for a while now. I understand people's concerns about us getting directly involved in a war in the Middle East. And I understand that Israel does not have a bomber heavy enough to carry the bunker-busting bombs that we currently have. But Iran's been fighting a proxy war for decades. Our proxy could be Israel. Why don't we gift them a B-2 fully loaded with some bunker-busting bombs? I bet they've got pilots could learn to fly that thing skillfully in just a matter of 2 or 3 days. We don't get directly involved, and our problem is solved.
I Thomas, I've got no problem with that, and it's a valid point. We have been fighting a proxy war, but the reality of it is also this, that Iran has been funding just about every major terrorist organization in the Middle East, and they have been attacking all of us. They've been targeting all of us. So from that standpoint, I think we all have skin in the game. But I find it interesting, Thomas, that most of the loudest voices opposed to us going after the Iranians actually support us backing Ukraine against Russia.
I find that interesting too.
Go figure that one out.
I think you may be spot on with the hidden anti-Semitic feelings there.
That concerns me, Thomas, because this has been, you know, this has been an ugly side of the MAGA world. And there has been a strain of anti-Semitism. And that concerns me. I my support for Israel is both political, but primarily it is religious. I believe that God calls us to support the nation of Israel. And I think that if we ever reach a point as a nation where we don't do that, I believe that we could be in a bad spot. Thomas, gonna leave it there. Thank you. Thank you for the call. A lot of you folks are weighing in on our Facebook live feed today. Maureen says Israel's doing okay defending themselves. Trump will step in at the right time. Here's what Susan says. The bombs, and by the way, people are also coming at us from the angle of, well, we dropped the bombs on Japan. Well, yes, we did, because that was the only alternative. Otherwise, a ground invasion, an American ground invasion of Japan during World War II, you would have seen millions and millions of people dead, Americans and Japanese. So I'm just telling you, yeah, Susan's right there. The bombs dropped on Japan were atomic, not nuclear. Imperial Japan attacked us and committed horrific and atrocious acts during World War II. They were warned repeatedly to end the war or we would end it for them. We told them we had the bomb. They ignored our warnings. We dropped the first bomb. Then we again told them to surrender. They still didn't believe that we had another bomb and again ignored our warnings. We ended the war, period. Susan is absolutely correct here. So, again, I think and whether it's anti-Semitism or people are scared. They're scared that Iran may try to do something in this country. And if they do, guess what? We will fight back. And God forbid there is an Iranian-backed terrorist attack on American soil. Iran will be wiped off the face of the earth. I mean, that's pretty simple. And Donald Trump has been pretty clear about that. And I think the Iranian leaders, whoever's in charge that's still alive over there, they all understand that Donald Trump is very serious about that. And if they want to go down that path, well, okay. But it's interesting because a lot of people now are starting to think, am I prepared in the event something happens here? I was on the Liberty Daily this morning, and I usually scroll their headlines, see what they're, you know, what's on their mind, what are the big stories. And there's a lady by the name of Daisy Luther. She is called, known as the Organic Prepper. She's got a website, theorganicprepper.com. She wrote an essay that came out yesterday. And no, today, I'm sorry, today, how I'm prepping for the potential of war. And she's actually going through and she's doing sort of a personal inventory of, you know, these are the things I'm going to need. God forbid there's some sort of a nuclear war or there's a nuclear attack. These are some of the things we're going to need, and talking about a lot of the things that would need to be rationed. And what I loved about it is some of the things that she mentioned are these people are actually supporters of my program. She talked about food, for example, and having strategies for, you know, number one, planting your own gardens, harvesting your own crops. And look, this is not an easy, it's not a simple one-day thing. I mean, it takes a little bit of time. But she talks about how you need to start. You need to get yourself some property. You need to have a garden. You need to learn how to can and store food long term. You need to be able to prepare as much for yourself so that you're not reliant on grocery stores, because in the event of a war, in the event of some sort of a nuclear incident, those supply lines are going to get broken up and you're going to be dealing with a lot of shortages. We saw this during World War II, by the way. Some of you old timers out there, you might remember those days. Also medicine, which is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of the Wellness Company. They do great work, and I would encourage you to go and check out TWC.health/Starnes. That's TWC.health/Starnes, Wellness Company. They've been providing, they've been supporting us and partnering with us for years now, and they have great products to make sure that you have all the medicines you need. And that's an important thing. By the way, ammo, she said that, and again, going back to World War II, you know, it will not be surprising if ammo was rationed during a wartime footing. So now is a good time to stock up and to have all of those, you know, have plenty of ammo. Make sure that you also have precious metals. You know, we've been telling you about vaultusgold.com, and they do some great work. You can purchase your precious metals, gold and silver. It's important to have those handy. And she's going down here, and she has her own gold company that she mentions, but we partner with Vault US Gold. She also mentioned something else, and I think this is fascinating. Talking about communications, she says, and again, an EMP device dropped in America and most of the country is screwed. But just think about this for a moment. How many of you actually rely on your phones for everything? If you were to ask what your parents' telephone number is, Dylan, do you know right away? Do you know what your parents' telephone number is without looking at your phone?
I do, yes.
You do, all right.
I promise.
That's not helpful. Most people don't.
Ask another Gen Zer.
Most people don't, though. I couldn't tell you. I don't know any of my family members' phone numbers. It's terrible. But if your cell phone goes down, if you have nothing at all, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If all of your digital stuff just dies, what happens if they attack the internet? These hackers, and that is something that we all had to be aware of. I think a good hack would do just as much damage as a nuclear bomb would. So you got to make sure you have a plan. What happens if your TV doesn't work, your internet doesn't work? I will tell you what will, your local radio station. That's right. We're going to be here, and we will become very important in your life. So it's important to have, by the way, have a ham radio. Ham radios are great, by the way, because, again, it gets you in touch with other areas in the event of an emergency. We love our ham radio operators in the Memphis area. They're great folks. So, again, it's all about thinking through what exactly do I need to do to make sure my family is prepared, and you just need to have a plan. That's all. You don't need to freak out. You don't need to build a 5-bedroom underground bunker. I mean, if you can afford it, okay, that's kind of cool, but you don't necessarily need one. By the way, our good friend Elliot over at the Filter Project just sent me a text and said, Todd, people need water in emergencies. This is true. The filter we use can clean pond water for over 1 million gallons. People could get one for just $110 at the Filter Project. So that's good to have on hand. By the way, their website, thefilterproject.org. No, I don't get any money from that. I'm just sharing useful information. These are good people. Thefilterproject.org. So anyway, yeah, the Organic Prepper, go and check out our website, theorganicprepper.com. She's got very sensible things. But you've got to be thinking about this because you never know when things are going to go completely south. And I think that's the big concern here. When you've got the planes up in the air that are known as the nuclear sweepers, it does make people sort of perk up and say, hey, what's going on here? They're fair questions. All right, we've got to take a break here. And I am curious, do you guys have a plan? Have you put together a plan, an action plan? If something does happen, does your family know what to do? Do your kids know what to do, grandma and grandpa? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. I would be curious to know if you've got some sort of an action plan. Did you come up with it yourself? Is there a place that you like to go to make sure that you've got the tools necessary to feed, clothe, and house your family? Take care of their medical needs. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our book launch day, and we are celebrating. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we need your help to get on the New York Times bestseller list. And the only way that we can do that is if our audience rises up en masse and goes to the bookstore, or you buy a book online, and we're encouraging you to do that today. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And we also want to hear from you. If you've already started reading the book, give us a call. Let us know what you think. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So Ilhan Omar, the refugee from Somalia, who we welcomed into the country only to have her turn around, marry her brother, and crap on our nation, is at it again. Ilhan Omar, the Congress gal from Minnesota. Cut number two, please.
To be coming out of our country. I mean, I grew up in a dictatorship. And I don't even remember ever witnessing anything like that. To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world, to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets without any regard for people's constitutional rights, while our president spending millions of dollars propping himself up like a failed dictator with a military parade, it is really shocking, and it should be a wake-up call for all Americans to say this is not the country we were born in. This is not the country we believe in. This is not the country our founding fathers imagined. And this is not the country that is supported by our Constitution, our ideals, our values. And we should all collectively be out in the streets rejecting what is taking place this week.
Well, madam, you can certainly return from whence you came. Ilhan Omar, she is more than happy to take her incestuous relationship with her brother, and we don't judge here. But I am wondering if the kids all have, like, 10 fingers? I mean, that can go south quickly when you're getting hitched to your brother or your sister. Ilhan Omar is free to go back to whatever third world hellhole she came from. If she hates America that much. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable, these people. All right. Time now for some fan mail, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't done this in a while. Fan mail, you say, Todd, how can I send you a letter? You can certainly do it through social media. This is Jim writing in. Dear Todd, I trust you're having a good day. You're a treasonous maggot, and you deserve to be in prison for your treason. Well, thank you, Jim. I am having a good day. Kevin writing in, Dear Todd, don't be such a blanking snowflake. Oh, my. I think that's biologically impossible, but okay. Evan from Lake Worth, Florida, writing in, Dear Todd, I'm curious how it feels to be on the wrong side of issues just to profit off them. So sad. Well, Evan, I'll tell you how it feels. It feels really good, especially when I'm staying at the Ritz-Carlton, getting room service and thinking about all you little triggered snowflakes out there. John writing in from Chicago, the Windy City. Dear Todd, where is your swastika? At the dry cleaners, John. Dylan, remind me, I've got to go pick up my dry cleaning after the show. Stephen writes in, Dear Todd, you are an evil person. I am disgusted we share the same chromosomes. Repugnant. God bless karma when it gets you. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, Stephen. Thank you for those kind words. And that, ladies and gentlemen, a look at the mailbag. You can actually send us a piece of mail by going onto our social media pages. Wow. I tell you, everybody kept the insults fairly short and pithy, and we certainly appreciate that, so we're able to get as many as possible in. All right, coming up, we told you about this beauty queen who got canceled because she refused to sign a Miss America document stating that men can become women. We're going to be talking to that individual. The lovely Kaylee Bush is going to join us. Also, Josh Jones from Washington, D.C., weighing in on the big issues of the day. And we'll be talking also with Kelly Shackelford, a member of the President's Religious Liberty Commission. We're also keeping track for any mushroom clouds on the horizon. We'll keep you updated on that as well. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, go get your copy of Star Spangled Blessings wherever you buy your books. We'll be right back. Hour two coming up next.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsers, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, this is the Todd Starr's Radio Show. Good to have you with us for this hour of the program, and today we are celebrating the launch of my brand new book, co-authored by Michelle Cox. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You're going to love this little book. We want you to go. It is officially in bookstores, available for sale today. I had actually pre-ordered one on Amazon, and it just arrived downstairs. So very excited to see that happening. So any of you who pre-ordered your books, you should be getting those within the next day or so. But head over to your bookstore, or you can order online, Star Spangled Blessings. And we need your help as we launch the book today. We want to have a great, great launch day across America. Well, we told you several weeks ago about a bizarre story involving the Miss North Florida pageant. And the winner of that pageant was stripped of her title after she refused to sign a Miss America contract that falsely defined female to include castrated males. This is absurd. Well, Kaylee Bush is the wonderful great American patriot we're talking about. And she joins us this afternoon on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Kaylee, good to have you with us today.
Hey there, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm gonna have to get that book. It sounds like a good book.
Well, we will send you a copy of it, Kaylee. And we're so excited to have you with us. And this is an insane story. I want you to take our listeners back to what happened. You won the Miss North Florida 2025 pageant, and what happened after that?
So, you know, you pretty much said it. I had won the title. I had even won People's Choice, raising almost $500 for a local veteran center. And so I was really busy at work. I hit the ground with my feet running, you know, promoting my platform through my title of Miss North Florida. And I remember heading back up to Jacksonville for a really fun weekend, and I'll never forget sitting in the corner, stunned, to read the new definition of female, which read, born female or an individual who has fully completed sex reassignment surgery via vaginoplasty. And I was stopped dead in my tracks. because this was completely different than from the website. Me and my mom had researched for so long, and so we immediately raised concern. But through all of this, you know, these private attempts to correct their contract, they it came down to a point to where the Miss America organization said, sign or we're going to take away and retire your title. And I said, I declined to sign. So
you declined to sign this contract. And what happened after that?
Well, like I said, we had made multiple attempts to try to get them to correct their contract because no crown is worth a child's safety. And I just want to be clear, I didn't want to do this, but I had to do this. Because the truth is, castrated boys are not girls. And Liberty Council gladly picked up my story, and they have been an incredible support and help in my battle for truth, which my full story is on lc.org/crown. But I'll leave the legal stuff to Liberty Council, and we've actually sent over two demand letters that Liberty Council has written for us. And I'll be pretty honest with you. They hastily and arrogantly, the Miss America organization, wrote back and dismissed the concerns that we had raised, which was a big failure to read the room, in my opinion.
I'm just shocked that they tried to force you to sign a contract like this. I mean, that's, you know, who in the world would have that kind of language in a contract like that?
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing. Actually, Miss America has been empowering women for over 100 years, and now they don't even know what a woman is. It's pretty disappointing.
Kaylee, I don't know. It seems to me that the pageant world is now going through what female athletics has been going through.
Yeah, actually, I like to say that courage is contagious. I've been inspired by Riley Gaines and Chloe Cole and all of those that use their voice. And, you know, it's really, really encouraging seeing them standing for truth.
So you won the pageant title. You've got the crown and you're out there. You're doing great deeds and you're working in your community. And how many months, you know, from when you got the crown to when you were stripped of the title?
So I was crowned, and 4 weeks after I was crowned, that's when they presented me with the newly changed contract. So I just want to be clear, you know, they changed the contract after I had stepped on that stage. I stepped on that stage under the clear understanding that this was a pageant for women and for women only, and they changed the rules on me.
Yeah, that's not right. And I have no doubt that Matt Staver and his team at Liberty Council are going to get this sorted out here. Now, North Florida, is that like one of the feeder pageants for the Miss America pageant? Is that how that works?
Correct. So I had won a local preliminary title to compete for the state level Miss Florida. And then, you know, hopefully, depending on how I did there, for the national level with Miss America.
See, everything I learned about pageants, I watch Miss Congeniality, Kaylee, so I think I've got a rudimentary knowledge.
Oh, yeah, Miss Congeniality, that's me and my mom's favorite.
All right, so how long, I'm just curious, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Kaylee. You know, how did you get involved in the pageants, and what do you do?
Yeah, so who am I? I'm just your normal small-town daddy's girl from Florida. I grew up in a small home with my strong father, my beautiful mother, and my two brothers. I nanny two little boys. And, you know, actually, I like to say that my mom threw me into pageantry, because she did back in 2023. And I'm going to be honest. I used to see pageants as maybe a little silly, maybe just the big dress and the lipstick. But I quickly learned that it's so much more than that. There's interviewing, public speaking, talent, and the mission, which quite honestly was my favorite part about the Miss America organization, was that you had to have a talent. And I've been dancing since I was 2 years old. So that was a clear yes for me. And that crown, my title of Miss North Florida, was my microphone to promote my mission. And so, you know, I was, like I said, I hit the ground with my feet running, and I served as president of Young Americans for Freedom at my local school. And, you know, that's why I loved the Miss America system. We had research for a year, and I loved the what seemed to be traditional values that they stood on. So
I was literally surrounded by so many pageant winners when I was working at Fox News back in the day, from, you know, Shannon Bream, Lauren Green, you know, Kaylee McEnany. It's there's all, I mean, you could actually stage a pageant at Fox News headquarters.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm telling you, these pageant girls know what's up. Like I said, people often overlook all the amazing things that go and come out of pageantry. You know, like I said, the interviewing skills, the public speaking skills, how to deliver yourself. It's just it's a really cool system that I've always, you know, since I got it thrown into it, for lack of better terms,
sure,
really admired.
So Kaylee, so right now we're sort of in a wait and see mode. Are there deadlines coming up? So let's just say that things get worked out. Will you still be able to compete, you know, for the Miss America title?
Well, you know, Miss Florida is actually this month, June 25th through the 27th. We're not sure what this is going to look like. Like I said, I'm going to leave the legal stuff to Liberty Council, but, you know, we are having high hopes that they'll return to truth and that they'll correct their contract.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Kaylee, is there a place if people want to get more information about you and, the charities that you support? Where can they go to get that information?
For sure. So you can totally go to I have two websites, lc.org/crown or thecanceledcrown.com. And I also am on social media on Instagram and Facebook, the.canceled.crown. And X just at the canceled crown, or you can also email me at thecanceledcrown@gmail.com.
Got it.
But yeah, just remember, you know, no child is born in the wrong body, and speak up, because silence is complicit. And we live in the greatest country in the history where free speech is constantly under attack. And so we all have to speak up, use your free speech, use your free will, stand up for truth.
Well said. By the way, what was your talent? Do you have to do talent, or is that like old school?
No, we actually do have to do talent, which honestly makes, you know, watching the Miss America pageant so much better, right?
Well, exactly.
I did a kind of a freestyle barefoot dance, because like I said, I've been dancing since I was 2 years old. So that was super easy for me. And trust me, you wouldn't want to hear me sing. So
I love it. Kaylee, we're gonna leave it there. Good luck to you. Let us know how things progress, and we hope to see you up on that stage very soon.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is such a great opportunity.
All right, the great Kaylee Bush, ladies and gentlemen. She was Miss North Florida, stripped of the title because she stood her ground when she refused to sign a contract that stated young men could also be girls. That's insane. Just insanity. And it's so sad that, you know, girls across America, young ladies across America, are having to go through this. That's just simply unacceptable. Don't you ever watch Miss Congeniality?
Not caught that one.
It's kind of a funny movie, actually.
Oh, it's a movie? See, I thought it was a show.
No, it's a movie. It's Sandra Bullock. Great movie, though.
Okay. I'll trust you on that.
You're going to learn a lot of stuff. There's something called butt glue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
I don't know if I want to know what that is.
It's a thing. We're just meeting Kaylee Bush now, so we don't want to throw the butt glue question out there. But, you know, we'll do that in the follow-up interview.
I'm sure it's appropriate in a pageant setting.
Well, more or less, yeah. So that's what they say. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I got to tell you, folks, you know, we are in a world where our values are constantly under fire. Kaylee just explained that to us, and it's never been more important for us to stand strong for faith, family, and freedom. And that's why I want to tell you about my friends at Old Glory Bank. Now, Old Glory Bank is not just any kind of a bank, folks. It is a bank built for people who love this great country and refuse to be silenced. When you put your money in Old Glory Bank, you're supporting a financial institution that believes in the values that made America great. Freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, good old-fashioned American grit. Now, look, I know you work hard for your money. We have so many blue-collar workers that you work hard. You work your butt off, and you want to trust that your bank has your back and won't cave to cancel culture or political agendas. So if you're tired of banks that won't stand up for your values, well, it is time to switch to Old Glory Bank. I want you to head over to oldglorybank.com/starns and make the change today. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. Remember, folks, stand proud and stay free with Old Glory Bank. Gosh, hundreds of you, 700 plus of you have weighed in on my Facebook page on the divide, the civil war going on in MAGA world right now. Laura says, Todd, Donald Trump is who I voted for, not Candace or Tucker or Charlie or anybody else. Angelique says, I voted for Trump. I trust his instincts. I stand on his side. James says, I disagree with you, sir. I don't think that America should be in this conflict with Israel. It's known that Israel wants America in every fight because they know they cannot win a conflict without America. Well, let me say this, James. Israel's been doing pretty darn well by itself right now. And just a reminder, it was Israel that was attacked on October 7th, and Israel has a right to defend herself. By the way, it was Iran who funded Hamas. It's Iran who is funding Hezbollah. James goes on to say this conflict that occurred last week was because Israel attacked Iran. So what did you expect would happen? Well, look, again, Israel has been the victim here, ladies and gentlemen. Israel has not been the aggressor. Lisa says, Todd, you're spot on. I stand with you and our president. Don't they realize that Trump has a family and grandchildren? He's talking about Jewish grandchildren, by the way, I believe is what she meant to say there. He's doing what needs to be done to save America, and he's making sure Israel is okay, too. God's word reminds us that he blesses those who stand with Israel, and he curses those who do not. Just a reminder there. Sometimes I think all the people you named, deep in their hearts, they don't like Israel, and they don't truly stand with Trump. Believe me, I like them all and have been following them all too. And I will say, and I'm not naming names here, folks. I'm just telling you that there are so many people in this MAGA world that are grifters. They really don't have a moral sense. And I'm not saying anything. I know I love Steve Bannon. I love Tucker Carlson. But I'm saying at large, broader picture, there are a lot of grifters in the MAGA world. A lot of people who are wanting to cash in on Donald Trump's name. And these people, they only are in it for themselves. And I'll just tell you flat out, I was asked if I wanted to do anything in the administration. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. I believe I can serve the administration. I believe I can serve the America First movement better behind this microphone than anywhere in Washington, D.C. And on top of that, have you seen my Twitter feed? Jeez, Lou, the Democrats up on the Senate would have a field day with my Twitter feed. But again, I don't want anything. I've never asked for anything from this administration. I don't need anything from them. I'm very happy with my life and my career the way it is. I'm not looking to make a name for myself off of Donald J. Trump. Every single day when I come onto this program, I tell you how I feel about issues one way or the other. You may not agree with me, but at least you know that's where I stand. But a lot of folks are really fired up. Charlene says, I doubt there is that big of a divide. Oh, there's a divide, Charlene. There is a divide. And my concern is, if these folks, and again, if Tucker and that crowd, Candace Owens, if they're not careful, they're going to disenfranchise a lot of voters, and that'll come back and bite us in the midterm elections. That's the cold, hard reality here. But again, this is not a matter of us going over there and dropping bombs. This is a matter of standing alongside an ally. And I find nothing wrong with that at all. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones, our guy in D.C., also Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty Institute, a member of the president's newly commissioned Religious Liberty Commission. They met yesterday. We had Dr. Ben Carson on, by the way, the Newsmax show last night. Great interview. He's on that commission, vice chair, by the way. All right, hang tight, everybody. Don't forget, this is Book Launch Day, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Get yourself a copy. All right, we're getting word that President Trump is meeting with his National Security Council in the Situation Room at this hour, and here's the plan that is being debated. So there is a nuclear plant called the Fort Al plant. It is built into a mountain. The only way to knock out this particular nuclear facility is to drop a bunker buster from a B-2 Spirit. That's the only sort of plane that can carry this particular sort of bomb, and only the United States has one. So the thought process here is that we're going to be sending one of our planes over to drop a bunker buster. Also, just want to give you a heads up here that we understand, and let me get this information for you, that, again, the president is now seriously considering a U.S. strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. So that's where we are right now, as these things are developing very, very quickly. Also, Israel putting out a message in Persian to the Iranian people saying, hey, look, our fight is not with you. It's the people that are oppressing you. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Josh Jones. And, Josh, it was so great to have you at the big book launch celebration.
Yeah, Todd, it was great to be down there. Really enjoyed it. It was fun to see everybody in person, you know, meet some of the team members, and then also get to check out Memphis. I've never been before, so I had a great time.
Well, we're glad you did, and looks like everybody was fairly well-behaved, so that's always a good thing. Josh, I want to get your take here. We were actually having a rather spirited debate among our team, because even on our team there are people with different opinions here about this, but I'm curious about your take on this. President Trump looks like we may be moving towards some sort of involvement in Iran.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, even like in the team and also in Congress and as a Republican Party as a whole, there's some disagreement on the best course of action here. But I think President Trump has been consistent in his messaging. If you go back to the first Trump administration and now the second Trump administration, America First, President Trump, has always meant preventing a nuclear Iran. What's happened now is obviously Israel, one of our closest allies, is in an open conflict with Iran, and I'm not going to act like I have all the intel. Nobody does. Nobody has access to the national security details that the president and his team have. So I have trust that they're acting in the best interest of America's national security. And if that means a preemptive strike to prevent a nuclear Iran, then I say that is an America First agenda move.
I think one of the challenges here has been regime change, and we just don't do a good job of that as Americans.
Yeah, you're totally right. If you look back to Iraq, if you look to Afghanistan, regime change historically hasn't gone well. But I will put it out there that Iran is a different situation in my eyes, in a sense of if you look at Afghanistan, there wasn't a true national identity left after the invasion, whereas Iran is a much more developed nation compared to Afghanistan, and there's a much more cohesive identity for the people to rally around. Like you mentioned earlier, the Israelis are directly messaging to the Iranian people, telling them, you know, we're not after you, we're not, this war isn't with you, it's with the oppressive regime. So I think there is an opening here, again, all with the caveat of I don't have access to the national security information that the president and his team do, But that's kind of my outsider's looking in take.
Now, I know, I mean, you're a pretty well-traveled guy. You do a lot of international travel. And, Josh, you, and you're a Gen Zer, so, but back in the, so you were not alive back then before the hardline Islamists took over Iran. But it used to be sort of like the Paris of the Middle East, and it was just an incredibly beautiful country, very modern. You had the Shah of Iran, who was eventually overthrown. But the reality is that he was a secular leader. He was usually at odds with some of the strict fundamentalists in the Islamic faith. And he really did try to modernize and westernize Iran. It was just really a wonderful place. And now it is just an oppressive land, I guess, is a way to say it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And like you said, I don't personally, just from being on the younger side, remember that. But, I mean, just looking back, you know, Iran used to be a country that was on the up and up and, you know, a place people wanted to visit. Like, it was a, you know, a leading country in the Middle East. But now, and also just to help put it into perspective, we're dealing with a terrorist, the biggest terrorist-sponsored state in the world. So outside of the current conflict going on between Israel and Iran, this is a country that has and still does chant death to America. So there is a direct national security threat here. And the reality is we're the only ones that can deal with it. Israel is obviously doing a great job right now. You know, they have a very advanced military and a willingness to use it. But if President Trump and the administration deem that the United States get involved, then that's probably like the best course of action.
Josh Jones, a great Republican strategist, joining us live from Washington today. You know, Josh, I'm curious from the political standpoint here, what are you hearing from Republicans on Capitol? I mean, clearly Thomas Massie, he's already, you know, yammering about the war powers and trying to stop the president. But by and large, what do you think the course of action is going to be for the Republican Party?
I think by and large, like I said, you know, mentioned the congressman there. There are fractions of the Republican Party who have more of an isolationist or limited intervention view. But I think the majority of Republicans, even a large portion of the Democrats, I think there's bipartisan, and it's early, but I think there's bipartisan support on the Hill in Congress for a preemptive strike on Iran and standing with our ally Israel. I mean, for example, Senator Fetterman of Pennsylvania just came out within the last couple of hours endorsing a preemptive strike on Iran. So I think it's less of a party line divide on this one and more of an ideological one, but I think you'll see large support in Washington for whatever move the president takes.
And it's also a big day. I don't mean to throw you a curveball here, but I know you're originally from Virginia. It's a huge primary day in Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So if you're in Virginia, get out and vote. On the Republican side of things, we already have our statewide ticket locked in because there wasn't any contest there, but there's plenty of House of Delegates races that have primaries. So if you're in Virginia, make sure you get out and vote.
Well, yeah, that's good stuff. Good reminder, too. All right, Josh Jones. Josh, always good having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, good guy right there. Yeah, that is going to be a fascinating race in Virginia. Of course, that'll be in the that'll be coming up very, very soon. So we'll pay close attention to that particular race. The governorship on the line, as well as the lieutenant governor. Interesting, this little intel, Trump says that we now have complete control over Iranian airspace. So that is a development. The president seems pretty confident there. President Trump also said in the last hour that we know exactly where Iran's supreme leader is, and we're not going to kill him now. And you know why? And I appreciate that about our president. He's a compassionate man. We know where you're hiding. We can sniff you out, sir, but we're not going to kill you just yet. So you can finish watching The Price is Right. Anyway, we're being told, and Fox may have jumped the gun just a smidge, but a senior White House official, this was 5 minutes ago, says President Trump will meet very soon with national security advisors in the Situation Room. U.S. strikes on targets inside of Iran, including nuclear facilities, are on the table. Now, the question is, will that trigger a lot of these sleeper cells that are based here in the United States? And we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, we're going to have both sides. We're going to have a MAGA debate on TV this evening, 5 o'clock Eastern, a person supporting President Trump, one who does not, and we'll have a good throwdown there on Newsmax. By the way, Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. Millions of people like you are joining our news revolution. Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans now watch Newsmax for shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, and Rob Finnerty. Get this, the fourth highest rated news channel in America, just behind CNN. That's pretty impressive. Download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV to start watching today. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. You, by the way, get the free Newsmax app. You can check out our Newsmax shares also on the New York Stock Exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com for that information. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. You know, you're really trying to be nice to these news publications. You want to try to give them the benefit of the doubt. You don't think everybody that works at these local newspapers or TV stations are all flaming leftists. And then you get snookered every time, every single time. So I was reading the local newspaper in Memphis. It's called the Daily Memphrean. And not a lot of people, it's a nonprofit, so they really struggle. They're always begging for money. They're kind of like the television evangelists. You know what I mean? They're always asking for money. They're always poor mouthing. Anyway, that's the Daily Memphian, our local liberal rag. Anyway, there was a story that caught my attention this morning only because I'd never heard it. And again, the liberalness of these people is what kills me. So the headline is, man dies after being shot by Memphis police officer. Oh, my good Lord. What happened? Are you telling me a Memphis cop just went out there and shot some poor dude and he died? I mean, that's what the headline implies. And so then I thought, well, let me see. There's got to be more to it. This is written by a reporter by the name of Aaron Fleming. That's Aaron with two A's and two R's. Oh, I see. Anyway, Aaron Fleming of the Daily Memphrean wrote these words. A man who was shot by Memphis police over the weekend has died, according to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Timothy Cook, age 35, was pronounced dead Monday, June 16th, 2 days after being critically wounded by a Memphis Police Department officer during an incident in Orange Mound. The incident began around 9:50 p.m. on June 14th at Park Avenue and Grand Street. So I'm thinking here, holy cow, this is terrible. Some guy just wandering around Orange Mound, which is a war zone, wandering around Orange Mound and was just randomly shot by police in an incident. How dare the police department do that? Let's march on the Memphis Police Department headquarters. Harumph, harumph, harumph. I was getting riled up this morning. But then I read paragraph number 5, and we found out the rest of the story. It turns out there was an incident. It turns out the bad guy, Timothy Cook, age 35, was a part of a large group of people standing in front of a business in a parking lot. And when the police officer got out of his car to find out what was going on, the suspect got into his vehicle and aimed his vehicle at the police officer, hit the gas, and slammed into the police officer. The police officer had a partner because he's in Orange Mound and nobody needs to be there by yourself at any time of the day, much less 9:50 at night. The partner, the police officer, opens fire on the suspect and shot the guy. So I'm just curious how they came up with the headline over the Daily Memphrean that a man dies after being shot by Memphis police, when in fact this guy was shot because he tried to kill a Memphis police officer. You cannot hate the mainstream media enough, ladies and gentlemen. You can't, and you can't trust them. What a bunch of liars and no accounts. Unbelievable. And it's shameful that you have to read five paragraphs down because they always want you to believe that the police are always the aggressors. Wow, we just have all these little young scholars just running around, and the only reason they're carjacking you is because they just need money for college. And the only reason they're shooting people is they just have aggression issues. They have daddy issues. That's the only reason why. They're just good children. Just good, good children. No, they're thugs. Thugs who were trying to kill cops. Unbelievable. And I don't know if the reporter is to blame or the editors are to blame. I don't care. I'm sick and tired of it. This outrageous coverage coming from our local newspaper. And this is happening all over the country. This is nothing unique just to Memphis. This is happening all over America. And now you know why they have to rely on handouts, because nobody wants to subscribe to this crap. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Susan in North Carolina. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind today?
I want to the Christians and the churches to pray for Israel and to pray for Donald Trump for salvation, for one thing. And then on top of it, pray that he gets this, what he said he would do, to go on and get it done, because all the Democrats are doing is trying to keep him back so he won't send all of these illegals back home, because like they already had voted, about a million of them voted for the Democrats. And now if he sent them back home and build that wall, they won't be to come back over here so they can vote, because you cannot trust those Democrats. They do not tell the truth. What they say that Donald Trump is doing is what they're doing. And they like to put it on Donald Trump and try to stop him. And the way these Democrats are acting is amazing. I am old. I'm 76 years old, and I've never seen them act the way they act, and not cursing and acting like children. And people should just not even listen to them, because they're being used by Satan anyway. But don't listen to them, because that's all they do.
They're demoncrats, demon rats, Susan. That's what they are.
They trust Satan, because everything they're doing is they're trying to destroy the children, and I know it came from them. Telling the children, the little children in kindergarten, telling them about sex. What's wrong with these people? They can't kill all the babies now. Now they're getting on the little children. I said, this country is a trip now. I've been here a long time. I was back there in the time when they had the Ku Klux Klan, which people ought to know is the Democrat Party, and they do not know. These black people don't even know.
Susan, do you know, in Memphis, Tennessee, the Republican Party here was actually founded by black businessmen to register people to vote. So back in the 1920s, you had the Republicans registering black people to vote while the Democrats were out there burning crosses in their front yards.
No, they were still burning when I was younger.
That's
too.
A little truth bomb. All right, Susan.
Okay.
Susan, I got to run because the computer is going to cut me off here. But God bless you, Susan. And I appreciate you calling in. You give us a holler back. I mean, Susan is speaking truth to the culture. And by the way, here's another truth bomb. All of the problems happening with Iran right now, a lot of it can be blamed on Barack Hussein Obama. I'm telling you. All right. Hang tight, everybody. By the way, go get a copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It is launch day in America. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it. American Ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
There is an interesting survey out. They've been looking at podcast usage and how are people getting their podcast. First of all, are you a podcast listener? And if you are, all right, do you watch your podcast? Is it a video podcast or do you listen to it old school like a radio style podcast? And this survey was done by Cumulus Media and Signal Hill Insights. And it's pretty fascinating. They're saying that a good number of folks, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because they actually broke down the ages of podcast listeners. And it turns out that podcast listeners skew 62% towards men. That's the viewership. So guys prefer watching a podcast. Ladies prefer to listen to a podcast. 57% of women say they prefer listening to the audio version. 62% of men say they prefer watching. Probably if it's Megyn Kelly, I guess. If it's Starnes, maybe not. So the podcast listenership, it's still skewing young. 18 to 34-year-olds make up 46% of the podcast listeners in America, followed by the 35 to 49-year-old group. That's 34%. 50-plus is 20% of the audience. So there you go. And our numbers do skew older, but we're trying to grow our younger audience. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you download the Todd Stern Show podcast, would you prefer a video component to that? Maybe we should be rethinking this, Dylan. I don't know. Well, we'll find out. We'll survey the listeners, and maybe they want to be viewers. Now then, I'm curious. Dylan, are you a podcast guy?
I dabble.
You dabble. Would you say your podcasts are typically sports, comedy, true crime, entertainment? Where do you... What does your podcast list look like?
I like Theo Von. He's pretty funny. There's one true crime podcast that I listen to. I forgot the name of it, but those two categories, I'd say.
So I am all... I wonder, what about Miss Cassie? Miss Cassie, yes. We're hollering at you. What do you have any particular kinds of podcasts that you fancy?
I'd say pretty girly ones.
Girly podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think that's on the list. Was that health and fitness, kids and family?
No.
Girly.
No.
All right.
More like artsy.
Oh, artsy. Okay.
Artsy,
well,
girly.
That would be entertainment pop culture, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would fit in there.
For sure.
All right. These are the top five, guys. And I'm all politics. That's all I listen. And I really don't listen to I listen to like Hannity's podcast and Mark Levin. And I actually go back, and I know this is sort of weird, I love listening to the old Rush Limbaugh shows, so I'll go back and listen to Limbaugh. Anyway, these are the number one, the number one, we'll start from number five. Number five, technology podcast. Number four, entertainment and pop culture, so that's the girly stuff. Number three is true crime. Number two is comedy. And number one is news, current events. So there you go. Kids and family podcast, ranked number 12. And I think the reason why is if you're a parent, you're busy doing other stuff, right? You're not going to have time to listen to a podcast. So there you go. The top five, news, current events, comedy, true crime, entertainment, pop culture, and technology. Well, the more you know, as they say. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Honored to have you with us today. It is Book Launch Tuesday, and we're very excited to announce my brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings, in bookstores. I want to encourage you to go out and get a copy or two and help us make the New York Times bestseller list. I just like to trigger the liberals, but it's also kind of a cool thing to say you're a New York Times bestselling author. And we don't do it by going out and buying, 2,000 copies of our own book. We do it the old-fashioned way, which is encouraging you to go out and get a book. And that's what we're trying to do today. So last night had a great show on Newsmax. Our good friend, Dr. Ben Carson, dropped by. Here's some of that conversation. Dr. Carson, good to have you with us. Look, here's what concerns me. We have seen some just a really vile level of rhetoric coming out of the Democrat Party in recent months, and you wonder if this is having any sort of play in these brutal, ugly attacks.
Well, it's got to be having an effect. Repeatedly demonizing your opponents. And there are some people who are not very strong. They're weak-minded, and they're very easily influenced by that kind of thing. And, you know, I think the leadership in each party should come out very strongly against anyone who is advocating demonization of their opponents.
You know, it's really shocking when you see that a lot of this rhetoric is actually coming from elected leaders, from the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Then you've got in North Carolina, a state representative, a Democrat, who shared a video advocating for the decapitation of President Trump. Dr. Carson, what is going on? It seems like there's just something more nefarious than just politics here. It's almost as if we're watching some sort of a spiritual evil at play.
Well, it is evil. And, you know, we need to put pressure on the leadership to come out against these things. You know, they just passively try to act like there's nothing that's going on. They try to get the news media not to report things. And, you know, a lot of people don't even know what's going on, quite frankly. But it's a massive way of manipulating. And when you look at the 45 goals of communism, in January the 10th, 1963, Congressional Record, one of the things is to gain control of the media in Hollywood so you can change the culture in America. I think they're in the process of changing the culture. Part of the culture of America used to be a sense of community. You know, we did things that were good for each other. We didn't really care whether we were Democrats or Republicans. You know, in harvest season, if somebody was hurt, everybody would harvest their crops because that was their neighbor, not because of his religious beliefs or because of political beliefs. That was our culture. That has changed. They're in the process of changing it drastically to make you think that the person living next door to you, if they have a different political sign in their yard, they're your enemy.
Dr. Carson, what do you make of what's been happening in the streets of many major cities over the past several days and, of course, this weekend, where these protesters are burning the American flag, and yet they're waving, proudly waving, the flags of foreign countries? What does that tell you?
It tells me that some of them are professional agitators, and others are what Lenin referred to as useful idiots. They don't really know what they stand for, and they're blown by any breeze that comes by. They're like a leaf in the wind. And that's why it's so important, particularly for our young people, to ground them in solid history and understanding of the principles that led to the development of this country. This is an amazing country that we have. We have an amazing history, but we allow people to take it and to distort it. And they're trying to indoctrinate our kids because they figure that's the future.
Dr. Carson, real quick, I know that you guys had your very first meeting, this Presidential Commission on Religious Freedom. So what are you guys tasked with doing, and what sort of recommendations do you guys plan on bringing to the president?
Well, this commission is composed of a lot of very experienced people in this arena, and we're to look for those things which are threatening the freedom of religion, which is so vital to the foundation of this country. It's the reason that so many people came here. It's the reason, I believe, that we've accelerated, because we had the kind of principles that led to harmony in a society and synergy, which led to strength in a society. So we want to find those things, talk about them, enhance them. And we also want to look at what's going on in the various agencies of government that can in any way be impeding the religious liberty that has been so important to our country in the past.
All right. That was a bit of our interview last night on Newsmax with Dr. Ben Carson, a member of President Trump's new Religious Liberty Commission. They met at the Museum of the Bible yesterday, had their big first meeting there in Washington, D.C. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks, and to pay some bills. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We did get a couple of messages from people. They said, Starnes, is there going to be an audiobook? Yes, the audiobook is available for purchase right now. So if you go to Amazon, you can purchase Star Spangled Blessings in hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook. You'll be able to get all three of those. And if you're a member, if you're an Amazon Prime member, that comes free with your membership. So be sure to take full advantage of that, and you can hear the audio version of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. I can't help but laugh at a lot of these liberals out there. I know we're not supposed to laugh or mock or make fun of. But ladies and gentlemen, some of the stuff that these liberal lunatics are doing these days, and some of the things that they're triggered by, it's just really mind-blowing to me. And you do wonder, and I mean, many of us have wondered, what is that going to look like? You know, these kids are getting fed with all of this stuff in school. They're being indoctrinated. They're being told they can't think for themselves. They're being told to be offended by everything. What will that look like when they come out into the real world? Well, I think I've come across some audio that truly explains all of this to you. And I wish that you could see this, because the video is probably even more hilarious. But I will say this. Imagine when you hear these two women talk and imagine what they might look like. That's exactly what they look like. I'm just telling you. So anyway, this woman is very upset. She had a terrible experience at Albertsons, which is a fine grocery store chain, by the way, a lot better than Kroger. And anyway, she had an episode. Now I want you to listen to what happened to this woman and her wife.
We were walking down an aisle, and there were like two guys that walked up next to us. You know, Peyton like walked away. My wife walked away for just a second. And he walks by and gets like inches from me and just rips one, like farts, like this far from me. That's disgusting to say. I can't even believe I'm having to say this, but he did. And about that time, Peyton walked up, like didn't witness what happened, but like seconds later, and I'm like upset and I follow after him. I was like, is there a reason? You were just so disrespectful to me. Never felt so dehumanized.
Not only did he fart on her, when she confronted him, he said, just walk away.
This is Albertsons, by the way. And go to the customer service to be like, hey, this just happened. I was just disrespected in your store and called names like several times. And the security guard went and talked to him, came back. And they all just kind of looked at us and was like, well, can't y'all just leave?
I have so many questions here. First of all, I'm just curious. Was this a dry fart or was this a wet fart? I mean, we need to know the details here, because that would impact the sensory overload that clearly these young ladies are facing here. So you had these two lesbians and they were grocery shopping. I wonder what aisle they were on. That's another question. Was it on the Hormel chili, the canned meat section? Is that where this happened at? I'm just curious. Were they crop dusted? Is that what happened here? Was it like a, or was it just a more directed, you know, fart, passing of the gas, if you will. I'm just curious. I mean, this is a terrible, odorous thing that happened to these women. And I'm curious what the guys were eating. Was this like a Taco Bell, you know, aftermath or whatever? I mean, because, and I say that because, you know, depending on what was eaten and the fragrance that was being emitted from the buttocks region of the two young men, I mean, we could be talking about criminal action here. I'm just saying. Hormel can tear a hole in you. It's just the reality of it. Dylan, are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make
sure. Glad you brought up the wet versus dry fart, because that really does make a difference in
it lingers.
Yeah.
It lingers. And nobody wants that. Not even I wouldn't wish that for the lesbians.
That's real nuclear warfare.
It is. That'll clear out Tehran. So if I were Albertsons, here's what I would have done. I would have just had an emergency can of Febreze underneath the counter. I would have just given it to the ladies. Say, here you go. Here's your response. But the fact of the matter is these women felt like they had been the victims of criminal activity here. By the way, have you seen the video that's going around? This is on like the TikTok or the Instagram, Dylan, where the guy is farting as people walk by, and they're getting their reactions to the passing of the gas.
Yes, I have.
The flatulence.
Right.
By the way, the other option here is for the ladies to arm themselves with, like, I don't know, a Bic lighter. So they tried that again, and all of a sudden they became, you know, a human butane.
You have a lot of solutions. Maybe they weren't expecting it, but they will now for the next time.
Exactly. I'm wondering, who did they just walk up? Did they just walk up and unleash? Is that what the guys did? They were very light on details, but she was very upset. I mean, she was crying. She was weeping.
You know, it takes a lot of skill to hold in a fart when you really have to. So, I mean, props to him.
He
knew when to let it go.
I just hope he didn't let too much go. That could have left a mark.
Double whammy.
Could have. There you have it. So now you wonder, though, how many other guys are going to start doing this to women in the supermarket? And I don't want to say that they were targeted, but you could spot them coming a mile away. I'm just saying. Woo-wee! Mercy me! All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I checked the Constitution. And you do not have a constitutional right not to be offended by a fart. That's America. That's why we're the greatest country on the face of the earth. Just steer clear of the canned meat aisle. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Don't forget, head over right now to Amazon. Order your copy of Star Spangled Blessings. It is launch day here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, America. Let's go to the phones. Nick in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to weigh in on the issue at hand, farting on liberals. Nick, what say you?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing? I just wanted to call in because I thought it was quite hilarious, and I think that we need to make it a thing. And wanted to hear from you on what you thought we needed to do to get more people to either fart on or near liberals as much as possible. Let's make this a Let's Go Brandon thing.
Oh, so, well, I mean, if we could get like a corporate sponsor like Hormel or maybe one of the cheese companies, I would be all for it. Jeez. Maybe some Boudin.
or some bean company.
Oh, beans. You know, it reminds me of the scene out of that great movie, oh my, Blazing Saddles. Remember the campfires?
I haven't seen that one.
They're not allowed to make movies like that anymore, Nick.
No, they're not. Well, I'm going to do my part to definitely, I will fart on as many liberals as I can.
Nick, God bless you. You're a great patriot, my friend. Godspeed to you. All right, there you go. Just don't be downwind of Nick, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, geez, Lou, what have we started, Dylan? What have we started? Oh, my goodness. By the way, these numbers just came in. This is huge. The brand new numbers, migrants released into the U.S. by Border Patrol. In May of 2024, 62,000 illegals allowed inside the United States by Border Patrol. May of this year, zero. Nada. Not a one, ladies and gentlemen. Well done, President Trump. So we have a story here that Dylan rushed in, and I know you're a big sports guy, Dylan, and the story coming in from Stephen A. Smith, who is talking about how bad it is in Memphis, Tennessee. He says that NBA players don't want to play in Memphis because of the high crime.
Yep. He's speaking of how it is, though.
Is it? So we've got this audio. I think let's listen to Stephen A.
Marcus, listen, I know y'all got to go. You going to tell folks why? Nobody wants to be in Memphis, or you want me to do it?
Oh, no. For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it, but you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be but in Memphis.
I want to hear you say, why you think?
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. Yeah. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know they've told me.
So here's what gets me about this is that everybody's talking about it. And look, you had John Morant's home got burglarized, and he doesn't even live in Memphis. He lives outside in the well-to-do suburbs where the mansions are. Everybody's talking about it. Meanwhile, you've got a mayor in Memphis, Tennessee, whose head is literally in the sand, and so is his butt. I mean, this guy, he's all about swagger and soul and how Memphis is the coolest, the blackest city in America. Well, I got news for the mayor. It's also the most dangerous city in America, and the mayor doesn't really want to address the issue at hand, which is the high crime. But everybody, and now we've got the NBA, and Dylan, here's my concern. What happens if the NBA says it's not safe enough to have a team in Memphis anymore?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to move us back to Canada.
Oh, geez.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, that's right. We were the Grizzlies. Was it the Calgary or so? Who were we?
That's how we got the Grizzlies, yeah. But yeah.
This is a problem, and I'm wondering if this had anything to do with the big trade the Grizzlies made a couple of days ago. I know exactly when it happened because I was in church on Sunday, and you could hear people's phones going off with the breaking news alerts.
I was sitting beside a Grizzlies fan of Desmond Bane, and he nudged me, and he was like, you're not going to believe this. So told me he was traded to the Magic.
So Desmond Bane is leaving the Grizzlies, and he's a beloved player around here.
Oh, yes.
People love him. And he's one of the good guys. I was reading something over yesterday that he was at Folks Folly, which is one of the really nice steakhouses in Memphis. And a couple of guys were they valet parked the Desmond, and he went in, ate his meal. So while he was eating, they ran over to like a FedEx Kinko's or something, and they took like shots of his face and they Xeroxed him so they could get an autograph. And he came out, and he was not only did he sign it, but he stuck around in the parking lot for like 20 minutes talking to the guys, the valet drivers.
He's awesome. And he's a rising star. And so it's, you know, it's going to hurt Memphis, I think. But this just, it sparks the conversation about Ja Morant now. Like the whole thing of, should he move now? Should he leave Memphis to join another team? And I don't know.
But when Ja came here, he was like this good little church going, you know, Christian fella. And now he's like gangbanger wannabe. He used to be. I don't know if he came out of that culture, but he was like really in rough shape.
I mean, even recently with Ja Morant's been getting in trouble with the finger guns and the celebrations. So the culture's got to him, I think.
Katie writes and says, Memphis is its own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, you know, Stephen A's talking to all these guys. And you know they're telling him. I mean, look, we all see it. So will this, let's just say FedEx is threatening. I mean, FedEx has pretty much said, it's almost unsustainable for us to keep our operations here because the pilots, our staff, nobody wants to live in Memphis. It's too dangerous. So if FedEx, and that hasn't moved the needle at all, they weren't scared by the idea that the number one employer in this area, one of the most philanthropic companies in America, would pull up stakes and move somewhere else. That didn't seem to phase downtown because they don't care. You know, they're all about government handouts. They think that every single major business in Memphis could leave, but the city would survive based on government welfare. That is a bad business model right there. But this is, I mean, I wish I could say I'm shocked, but Stephen A., maybe they'll listen to Stephen A. So maybe if the Grizzlies decide, you know what, we're not, it's too dangerous. Here's how bad it is. How bad does it have to be that even the NBA says it's too dangerous? I mean, come on. But you wonder, is that what it's going to take for Memphis to lose its professional sports franchise? We have a great minor league ball club, and it looks like they're going to be packing up and moving to greener pastures. Nobody wants to go downtown anymore. It's too dangerous. Even the Peabody Ducks get a little nervous. They're a little gun-shy these days. So there you have it. It's a sad thing that's happening in Memphis, but it is what it is. And any of you have solutions, love to hear them. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So last night on the Newsmax show, President Reagan's son, Michael, dropped by for a visit. I had no idea. You know, his son-in-law is a member of the LAPD, and they've been out there fighting all of these rioters. By the way, in New York City, one of the mayoral candidates tried to stop ICE agents from arresting an illegal, and now that guy's in hot water. But anyway, Michael Reagan joining us last night on my Newsmax show. Let's take a listen. Michael, good to have you with us. So you see what's happening there on the streets of Los Angeles, and yet the mainstream media says don't believe your lying eyes.
Well, I basically get a firsthand look at it. Why? Because my son-in-law is the one leading the group that's arresting all of these people. Let's see, yesterday he had a Molotov cocktail thrown at him. He had two motorcycles trying to run him down in the streets of Los Angeles. So he's been very, very busy. And he's the father of our latest and newest grandchild, little Stetson, who's like 6 weeks old. And because of these riots downtown L.A., he's been downtown L.A. dealing with that. But he controls about 70 police officers down there and been very worried about him, especially when they're throwing Molotov cocktails at your son-in-law.
Michael, I'm curious. We've certainly seen the reaction that the anti-ICE crowd has towards law enforcement there. But what about the business owners and the residents? What are they telling police officers?
Well, the problem is there nobody's going to work. We have a friend of ours in the fashion district. Nobody's showing up for work. So it's very bad on the businesses down there in Los Angeles and what have you. A lot of places are boarded up. And, of course, the destruction of the buildings and the graffiti and all of those things. The I Hate America crowd comes out at dark or just before and starts doing their damage, if you will. And it's just it's sad to see what's happened to my city. If I could just give you something to chuckle at, I remember my dad was governor and there was riots up in Sacramento and there's a crash, you know, through a window in the living room of the governor's mansion. And my dad walked down the stairs and started laughing. And Nancy said to him, "What are you laughing about?" He says, "Only in California." And it was a Molotov cocktail thrown into the governor's residence through a window, but it was in a champagne bottle.
Well, of course it was. Only in California. Senator Tom Cotton shutting down. He was on CBS this weekend. She suggested, the CBS host, the L.A. Police had everything under control and Trump did not need to send in the troops. Let's watch this.
LAPD says they were handling when things turned violent yesterday. They fired rubber bullets, but they said they had it under control.
The L.A. police chief said last weekend that his forces were overwhelmed and they couldn't manage the situation.
Yeah, your reaction to that, is that accurate, what the senator said?
Yeah, I understand these same people are brought to the fire. You're down 1,000 police officers in Los Angeles. You need the National Guard there. and the military to protect the police officers so they can do what they are able to do, and they're able to squelch it and take it down. I believe for the first time since 1966, they used gas the other day, which scared everybody away, which was good. But again, the LAPD is doing a great job being down 1,000 police officers. But again, they're able to do their job because National Guard's there, the military's there to protect the buildings, also protect them, which allows them to do what they need to do to squelch the rioters when they get out of hand during the late afternoon or in the evening. So you can make what you will with that, but without the military, without the National Guard, then in fact, they would be absolutely overwhelmed.
Michael, real quick, the book you wrote about your dad, I've got it in my library, and I'm wondering if you could share one thing with the Newsmax audience. What is one thing, one lesson that your father taught you?
Well, he taught me how to be a father. He taught me how to be a father in the best way, because he had to be a father to two families, Maureen and I, from my mom, Jane, and Patty and Ron from Nancy. But here's something else I really learned from him. And I was at the ranch just the other day picking people on a tour. And I was sitting there looking at the place where we had Thanksgiving dinner. Yet two of his children voted against him. Two of his children, one of them, Patty, led a march in Washington against him while he was president of the United States. But every Thanksgiving, we are all the same Thanksgiving table. And that's what's missing in the world that we live in today. That we chase people away from the table instead of finding a way to keep people at the table. And that's what my father did. And that's a great lesson.
It is a great lesson, and a great man there, Michael Reagan, President Reagan's son, and always fun to have him on our Newsmax show. So some breaking news coming out now of Iran. Israel has now eliminated former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, along with his wife and two sons in their car. This happening in Tehran. So this is huge. Because this guy was committed to waging genocide against the Israeli people, and that's not going to happen. So the breaking news, former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, along with his wife and two sons, eliminated in their car in Tehran. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Morehead City, North Carolina. Dave. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I was just telling your call screener that, as far as FedEx, It would be, with all the bad closures and stuff over the years, get FedEx to find one of these old air bases or air stations that have been closed that are in a good place and start the town of FedEx around that airfield. And they go in and they own the airfield, and whether or not they can lease out stuff to everybody else, but it's theirs. And they build the town of FedEx, and the people get a special tax rate because it would be a corporate town, so, have property taxes be lowered for the employees and everything else, and they go in and they assess the property rates at a lower level so that the employees aren't taxed out of their homes, and just kind of, you can set things up so that it works, grow a town around that, and they could have their own police department and everything else to keep the people out, and they could determine, who's there and not there.
FedEx City. I like that. FedEx City.
Yep.
That's really not a bad thought. And I know for a fact there has been a lot of interest. I know the state of Kansas has been very interested in trying to recruit FedEx. They've got so much wide open space over there. And, of course, Kansas is a huge aviation state. But, again, at what point as a business owner do you decide it is just no longer viable to do business in the city of Memphis?
Well, and the thing is, if the big guy goes, then everything, the criminals can't exist on nothing. When there's nothing left to take, they got to go. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, and most of America won't like this, but there are special little groups in America of people who have served in certain specialties. If the call went out and the money was paid, they could clean up Memphis in 6 months.
Well, no doubt about that. But I'm not sure they would allow that to happen. But you're right. You're right about that, Dave. All right, we got to run, my friend, late for a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, real quick, let's go to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee, wants to weigh in on FedEx. Hey, Justin, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, hey, Todd, give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
Well, let's put Justin on hold here. We may have to get Justin to call back tomorrow because we are running flat out of time. But anyway, that crazy story where ESPN commentator Stephen A. Smith says NBA players don't want to play in Memphis, Tennessee for the Memphis Grizzlies due to the high crime. And that led to a conversation about other businesses, including FedEx, maybe even AutoZone, which is based here. At what point International Paper is based here in Memphis? At what point do these big businesses determine, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore? If city leaders are going to turn a blind eye, and they're just lying to people. They're saying, well, there is no crime in Memphis. Well, that's simply not true. It's the number one homicide capital in the world. Folks, again, want to thank you. And again, 5 o'clock tonight Eastern, the conversation continues on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. But want to thank all of you who have already gone out and purchased your copies of Star Spangled Blessings. This is our only venue, our avenue to promote the book. And we really appreciate your kindness getting out there and supporting all of our great projects. And I'm really excited for you to read this new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Head over to Amazon. We're hopefully going to hit that number one mark sometime this evening or tomorrow. We're going to be able to do that with your help. You can buy it hardcover, Kindle, or audio over at Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Get out there. Be good, America.